Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on this Tuesday, April the 5th, 2022, 15 minutes past the hour. 37 degrees and cloudy skies here in Marion on this Tuesday morning. Want to kick off the morning by congratulating Kansas, who ended up winning the NCAA March Madness title. And apparently, it is the biggest comeback in any one game in NCAA history, beating North Carolina last night. So that brings an end to the NCAA tournament, and Kansas did well by me in the tournament. I had them going to the final game. I did not have them winning the final game. I had Indiana, who went out in the first round, so that did not help my brackets, but Kansas saved me, because I had Kansas going to the final game, and they ended up winning the whole thing last night. So congratulations to Kansas. I didn't watch the game, but apparently the comeback was something else. Did anybody watch the game last night? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. What a game it must have been. That wrapped up our NCAA tournament bracketing competition that we had here at the station between Angie and I. I ended up with 75 points. Angie ended up with 43. And that's the way sometimes you just get lucky. It was such a weird year for the NCAA tournament. It didn't seem to matter how you were seeded or anything of that nature. It was really just kind of an emotional year with Coach K and Duke and St. Pete never winning a game and winning three games in a row, and it was just really an interesting year. So congratulations to Kansas and everybody who participated. Now I have to figure out what I have won by winning this tournament, because I've never come up with what I want in return. It's just a little side thing. Angie wanted a steak dinner, and unfortunately that didn't come through for her with her picks, but now I need to come up with something. So I'm going to have to work on that. Hopefully I'll have something by Friday or let you know what I should ask for. I was trying to think of a meal that, I mean, I like a steak dinner. Maybe I should ask for a steak dinner. I don't know. I'll think about it. Do want to thank everybody who put up with us yesterday morning. We had phone trouble yesterday in the first hour, and I basically realized that it was just the phones. The phones were out of whack yesterday morning, and that was unfortunate. But we killed about 10 or 15 minutes yesterday of me just going, "Are you there? Can you hear me? Are you there?" But that's live radio, and that's the way it goes. Now, this brings up an interesting point to me that I wanted to talk about this morning. Now, you say, well, why doesn't that happen at other stations? Well, I'm going to tell you, without saying any names or giving you any insider radio info, I learned this when I started in radio, that 90% of the radio shows that you listen to are not live. Now, what really happens is, and this, I guess, is to get rid of mistakes on the air. Clearly here, we don't mind mistakes on the air. I think mistakes on the air are sometimes more interesting. I think if we have a normal show and a good show, that's not really much to talk about. But if we have a mishap like we had yesterday with the telephones, people turn to their wife or their brother or sister or whoever you're listening with, or maybe you're listening at work and you turn to your coworker and go, My goodness, listen to the trouble they're having over there. I think irregular things, the out of the ordinary things, are the interesting things. So that's just my opinion, and everybody has a different opinion on that. But most people, it's called voice tracking. It's not called recording. They use a fancy term called voice tracking. So what they do is they go in the morning, and they're there, so it looks like they're live. But what they do is they usually record what they're going to say about 10 minutes before they play it. So when you actually hear them on the air, that was recorded about 10 or 15 minutes earlier. And that's done so there are no mistakes. That way, if they stumble over a word or don't read something just right, they can retape it really quick and then get it back on the air. And I found that interesting. I did not know most people did that. But that's to sound smooth. You know, you listen to people like Casey Kasem and who are the other big people in the DJ world now? I don't even know. And Casey Kasem's no longer with us. But that's what they do. They voice track their shows. And I can tell you that when I started in Marion Radio, there was only maybe one or two people actually doing live shows, that most people were voice tracking their shows. And I think they still do to this day. I don't know. I don't work with other people. I can tell you all the shows on this station are live, and that certainly shows. The other thing is with the telephone calls, I don't think most people realize this. I've said this before on the air. You know, there are times when we'll go to the phones and we won't get any calls. And people go, well, why doesn't that happen at other stations? When they go to the phones, they get telephone calls. Well, a little inside secret to radio is, number one, if you're an FM station that plays music, you're usually taking those calls during the break. So while the listeners are listening to music, you're drumming up the calls. So if there's a drought of no calls, that's okay because you're live. So if you say, let's go to the phones when you're taping it, and nobody calls, well, you just cut out that dead part. You just leave the part in where somebody did call. So it sounds like somebody calls immediately. And that's how that's done and if nobody calls, they just don't play it. So that's how it's done in the voice tracking DJ world. And on AM radio, and I really hate to give this away, but pay attention to the voices if you're a regular listener to any show that is maybe a national show. I don't know any local shows really that take phone calls around here anymore, except us. But if you listen to the national shows, you'll notice sometimes that the voices sound very similar. Because the national shows, when there's a drought in the calls, because of maybe just no interest in the topic, or maybe people are out doing things, it's a beautiful day. You know, there are a lot of reasons why you don't get calls. Somebody from the show calls in. And a lot of times they'll have three or four producers. They'll have the secretary at the station call in. They'll have the traffic person call in at the station. They'll have people who work there, interns, will call in and make it sound like people are calling in. And they're never getting a drought. Just little tricks of the trade of radio. So I thought I'd give you a little insider insight into radio. Now, we don't do that here because we're straight live. What I'm saying is actually coming to you right now. So there's no way I could voice track it, and there's no way I could make up for nobody calling in unless I had people fake calling in. And I think by now you can tell that our calls are not fake because I never know what's coming. So yesterday that was a problem with the phones, and I thought you might be interested in that little inside information into the radio world. I want to thank Angie this morning. She dropped off some eggs and sausage and a large Diet Coke, so I didn't even have to leave the house this morning. And I've got my large Diet Coke here. Good way to start the morning. Now, yesterday we were talking about breakfast. Oh, before I do that, I do want to mention that you know how things go in a circle? Well, now follow me through the story I'm about to tell. Now, today I'm dog sitting, which is great because I love these two dogs, Puppy and Houston, Angie's two dogs. Now, I tell you what kind of dogs they are, but I am not a dog person, so I really don't know what kind of dogs they are. They're littler dogs. They're not big dogs, and I love them. They're here right now. They're not barking. They're very fun dogs to be around. They're fun to play with and take on walks and things of that nature. So I'm dog sitting today, and so if you hear a bark, you know what it is. It's not me. But here's the story I'm about to tell. The dogs are here, so that's a lot of fun because I like these dogs. Which brings me to a story I saw on the Associated Press a wire this morning. Now, you won't think these two stories go together, but I'm going to weave them together here for you. Here's the headline this morning. Darwin's notebooks missing for 20 years return to Cambridge. Now, this happened in London. Two of naturalist Charles Darwin's notebooks that were reported stolen from Cambridge University's library have been returned 2 decades after they disappeared. The university said Tuesday. Now, see, if I had voice tracked this, I wouldn't have stumbled over that. The university said Tuesday that the manuscripts were left in the library inside a pink gift bag, along with a note wishing the librarian a happy Easter. So Charles Darwin's notebooks are returned after 20 years. Now you're saying, Scott, how does that story go along with you watching two dogs today? Well, we haven't talked about this for a while. Laddie Boy's dog collar now has been missing 10 years. I believe it went missing in 2012, the summer of 2012. So this summer will mark 10 years that Laddie Boy's dog collar has been missing. Now, last year, we had a very interesting development when one of our listeners brought in a $1,000 reward for the return of this collar. And I took that reward. It is in the bank, awaiting whoever returns the collar. Now, this got national attention last year, and that had nothing to do with me. That was all the listener. The listener who put up the money and wants to remain anonymous, and I certainly will respect that. But obviously somebody who's interested in Marian history and kids who want to see the dog collar and just preservation, and that's very admirable. So the $1,000 is still there. And by the way, I think it's actually accrued some interest. So it's like $1,007 now. But anybody who returns the dog collar will get this $1,000. Now, here's where the stories come together. Now, obviously, me watching the dogs, that's the dog part of it that kind of comes together. But Darwin's notebooks were missing for 20 years. Now, I would guess that Cambridge never thought that they would be returned. But they were. They were out there. But it obviously took somebody getting some gumption to return them. Now, clearly, the person who returned them did not want any attention because they were just left in the library in a pink gift bag saying Happy Easter. And that's exactly what could happen with President Harding's dog collar. So I again implore anybody who's listening, if you bring back this dog collar, if you contact me, I'm not going to ask who you are. And chances are, I'm not going to know who you are. And you will get the $1,000 reward. There's absolutely no doubt about that, because that's what the listener wanted. So if anybody has information on this dog collar, you can give me a call off the air at 740-751-4038, and we could meet up wherever you want. As long as you don't bring a group of people. Because right now I can't be around a group of people. But, you know, I could show up at wherever you wanted me to. And we could make the exchange. Not in a dark alley, though, or anything like that. But, you know, if you wanted to meet in a parking lot somewhere, whatever. And again, like I say, I'm not going to ask who you are. That's not really important to me. What's important to me is that you get the $1,000 reward, because that is what the listener offered. And what's also important to me is the return of the dog collar. I don't think at this point putting anybody in jail or pressing any charges is important, because the cops have not been able to find the dog collar. So what would that do? If you don't return it, the dog collar stays hidden, and nobody ever gets to see it. So I'm looking at Darwin's notebooks here this morning, and I'm thinking, you know what? I bet the people at Cambridge really don't care where they came from. I bet they're just happy that after 20 years, somebody decided to return them. So again, if you know anything about the dog collar, feel free to call me off the air anytime, 740-751-4038, or email me, Scott with two T's at WWGH1071.com, and let's get this dog collar returned. But notebook, see? I should have voice-tracked the show this morning. And I will make sure that the Harding home gets this dog collar back. And that would probably be a fun national story, too, so you could be a hero. Not that your name will ever be mentioned. Again, I really don't care who has it. And like I say, chances are I'm not going to know who has it anyway. I probably will not know who you are. And if you think I know who you are, send somebody else with it who I don't know. However you would want to do it. All right, let's take the phone call here and pray the phones are working this morning. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I didn't watch the game, but I listened to it on radio.
Oh, Kansas?
Yeah.
How much did they come back from?
They were down 15 at the half.
And that was an all-time record I heard this morning.
Yeah, and 5 minutes into the game, they tied it up.
So what do you think happened to North Carolina?
I think in the second half, they just thought that they had the game at hand and let up. But Kansas, they started off 7-0 leading.
Well, you know what I think happened.
And then they got in a pickle and, you know, got behind by 15 points. But, man, in the second half, they come out and played tough defense and tied it up in 5 minutes.
Well, you know what I think happened, and I think it's what happened to Duke. I think Duke, when they got to the Final Four, people thought they were going to win it. They thought they were going to win it. And they went in against a tough team, North Carolina, and they got beat. And I think North Carolina, after beating Duke, got a lot of attention on them. And they thought they were the shoe-in. Because, you know, honestly, Kansas, even though they made it to the final game, they did not get much attention. When they were in the Final Four, that was not the game that people watched. When they were in the Sweet 16, it wasn't the game that people watched. Elite Eight. And all of a sudden, they're in the final game. And I just don't think they had the pressure on them that North Carolina had after beating Duke. And I think that makes you nervous. And I think that's what happened to Duke as well.
That could be. But that Duke, Villanova, or Duke played North Carolina, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that game was similar at the end, just like this game, where it was tight all the way through. But just at the end of the game, Duke couldn't make the play. And North Carolina did, and that was the difference in the game. Just like this game, you know, they won by 3 points. But it could have, in the last minute, it could have went either way.
Well, that's true. Now we know all these kids can play basketball, and we know all these kids have great coaches by the time you get to the final game. So do you think when you can't score, do you think that's just bad luck, or do you think that's nerves?
Well, I think a little bit of it could be luck, but a lot of it's just you get nervous, you get behind, you know, sometimes you try too hard, you're turning over the ball. You know, and it just all compounds.
You know, I always thought that no matter what you coach, basketball, baseball, soccer, whatever you're coaching, I understand you want your team to win, but I don't think you should ever make it. I don't think a good coach ever says you have to win this. We got to win this, because I think that puts terrible pressure on you to make a mistake. I know it sounds silly to say to your team, well, it doesn't matter if we win or not. But you know what? If you say that to your team and you've coached them good, they're not going to get as nervous in that final minute or so when they need to come back, when they need to play good.
Right. You know, the best thing to tell them is, you know, who's going to win this is whoever wants it bad enough.
Right. And you know what? If you
go out there and show them that you want it more than they do.
Now, what do you make of this Darwin story this morning, and maybe hope that this dog collar might be returned?
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Well, yeah, I'll give it to you here. I just did the story here. In London, two of Charles Darwin's notebooks had been missing for 20 years. And on Tuesday, a pink bag was left in the university library, wishing the librarian a happy Easter, and the two notebooks were in there, gone for 20 years.
Wow.
So I was saying this morning that, hey, you know...
They didn't get a reward for that, did they?
No, and we've got a $1,000 reward, it's I think in 7 cents now, because it's in a savings account over at the bank, and... You know, the dog collar's only been missing for 10 years this year, or 11 years. I can't remember if it's 2011 or 2012. But call me off the air. Send me an email. If I don't know you, I'm not going to ask you any questions. Matter of fact, if you met me somewhere and just handed me a box, chances are I probably wouldn't even know why you were handing me the box, like this pink bag was left inside the library.
You know how that might be found is... The person that may have taken it may have got it stashed.
Right.
And when they pass away, people might be going through their personal stuff. And this has brought a lot of attention to it, which is good. And it could be found, just like those, you know, Darwins, and eventually returned.
Well, what I don't believe anybody melted it down, because initially that was the story, was that somebody melted it down. I don't believe that happened. And number two, I believe it was a prank, because the way it was handled, breaking the window, knowing there was no security, putting a ladder on the side of the house right there on Mount Vernon Avenue, one of the busiest streets in Marion, I think it was a prank that turned into a big deal. And now I think 10 or 11 years later, the person is afraid to bring it back. I think it's a Marion person. I don't know why somebody would come outside of Marion to steal that, to be honest.
They probably don't need $1,000 that bad, and they probably, at this stage, don't want their name connected with it, you know, anybody knowing that they did it or nothing. So they probably, you know, could just have it smashed back.
Well, what's
to melt it down, Scott, would you know how to go about melting that down?
No, and at that time...
You don't put it on the stove, a Bunsen burner, or you know.
Well, and at that time, people were looking, all pawn shops and places like that were notified that if you get any melted down gold, to report it. So I just don't think that was done. And the other thing about it is that, you know, what use is this dog collar to anybody except for a prank? I think it was a prank. And you know what? Maybe one of the reasons somebody doesn't want to return it, you know, the whole Lady Justice story, that was gone for 20-something years. Well, it was because the president of the Historical Society, now, of course, he wasn't the president when he took it, but the president of the Historical Society was the one who took it, and that would have came along with great shame, I think, for him. And he's admitted that, Dick Carey. So it's interesting because...
But that kept it from coming back because, you know, he was worried about how people would take it that he played that prank.
Right,
the law, but, you know, citizens here, you know, in Marion, you know, how they're going to react to it.
Right, and I think that might be something. You know, this thing's been going for 10 or 11 years now. So maybe the person was a kid. Maybe they were 16, 17 when they did this. Well, they'd be 27, 28 now. Well, maybe they're in a good job here in Marion. Maybe they're in a good position. And they don't want to ruin that. And I understand that. But again, I mean, I understand it's hard to trust somebody that I'm not going to call the police or have a car waiting there or turn you in or, you know, whatever. Honestly, why would I do that? What how would that benefit me to turn anybody in? I don't care who had it. And a matter of fact, to be honest with you, how would I even be able to prove that the person handing it to me was the person who had it?
Right.
I mean, all you got to do, who stole it, I guess is what I'm saying. Look at Lady Justice. When Lady Justice reappeared after all those years, nobody went looking for anybody.
No.
No, they just said it was left on somebody's property. And you know what? We could use that here. To be honest, it probably is the truth. If you threw it on my property or left it on my doorstep with a note that said Happy Easter, how would I know where it came from?
Well, if they turned it in to you in person and they told you, you know, could you report that you found it this way instead of...
Well, that's what happened with Lady Justice.
Yeah. You're going to say whatever you want me to say, you know, that's how it's going to be.
Well, that's exactly what happened. You know, Dick, the people at the radio station knew who took Lady Justice, but they went along with the story because they wanted to get the statue back, and that was more important. And that's what I think's important here. I mean, goodness gracious, it's been a decade. For goodness sakes, return the thing, get $1,000. And to be honest with you, if you want the $1,000 and you gave me the dog collar, you could say that somebody brought it to you or that a family member had it. I'm not going to ask any names. Why? Why would I do that? And if you do have it, send somebody else to return it. Don't even tell the person what's in the box. It could be handled a lot of different ways. So I hope talking about this again this morning, we haven't talked about it in about 8 months, but when I saw that story about Darwin's notebooks, I thought, well, that's a good story to talk about this morning.
No, but it is good to, you know, because you wonder, you know, it's good to keep the story out there because eventually it could happen.
Well, and the listener who donated that $1,000 for its return and wanted to remain anonymous, I give that person a lot of praise.
Here's something I wanted to run by you. I don't know if you know yet or not, but the house that blew up over here, have they figured out exactly how that happened or why?
You know, I don't believe so because I have contacted the fire department every time we've talked about it. And they still have no answers. So I don't know if it's become an inconclusive. I'll check later on again today now that you've brought it up. I'll send them another message. But I think it probably was inconclusive.
They're not even telling us it's inconclusive.
Well,
they're not telling us anything.
You know what? During the break this morning, because they usually respond pretty fast, I'll send them a message during the 9 o'clock break. And if I get anything back before the end of the show at 10, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yep, thanks, God.
Hey, good news. The phones are working this morning. You don't have to hear me stumble around. 42 minutes past the hour. Give me a buzz here. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Would love to hear from you. Also, on any of the topics we talked about yesterday, doesn't have to be Harding's dog collar. Doesn't have to be the topic this morning. We talked about a lot yesterday that we never got to because of the phone issue. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, God, I'm back.
Well, yeah, you know what? I was going to call out to you the other day on the radio. I thought, did we lose a listener out in the Big Island area? What happened to you?
My cellular carrier dropped their 3G network, and my phone went haywire. I couldn't make or receive phone calls.
Oh, my God. And it took how long to resolve it?
Quite a while. I got in my phone and was messing around, and they turned on the Wi-Fi calling, and something called VOLTE. I turned that on, and I was able to make and receive calls again. Yeah. I don't know how it works.
Well, I'm glad you're back. I was thinking about you the other day. I think I even said to Angie Friday night, I said, I haven't heard from Scott out there in Big Island. What happened to him?
Yeah, my phone went anywhere.
So what's on your mind this morning? Glad to have you back.
So you're talking about that dog collar. Now, by some odd twist of fate, you get that dog collar back. How are you going to authenticate it to make sure it's the real dog collar?
You know, that's a good question. To be honest with you, what would happen in the case of the $1,000? I'm not going to hand you the $1,000 when you hand me the dog collar. I'm going to take it to the Harding home. And if the Harding home says, this is it, then I will get you the $1,000. I'll get your information, whether you want it by mail or you want me to deliver it somewhere or you leave me your phone number, whatever. But I'll get you the $1,000 as soon as we can authenticate it.
Yeah, because I was thinking, you know, I'm sure there's pictures of that dog collar online. Anybody could make a dog collar and say that's the dog collar.
That's true.
You're going to authenticate it somehow.
Yeah, we're going to authenticate it before we give away the $1,000. But, you know, I understand that people, and we've had people call in when we talked about this, you know, 8 months ago. People want the person arrested. People wanted Dick Carey arrested when Lady Justice was stolen. But the problem is if you threaten that, you're never getting it back. And would people want Lady Justice to have never returned? Because it probably would have it'd still be sitting in Dick Carey's barn because Dick's still with us. So what is the point of that? You know, the dog collar's been gone for more than a decade. The police obviously cannot return it. They can't find it. Why would putting somebody in jail at this point have any significance to returning this collar?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's got to be a statute of limitation on that.
Yeah, I imagine that's probably ran out anyway.
Yeah.
They could throw me in jail if they wanted to for not telling them, but I don't think
they'd get... Yeah, that's another question I was going to ask.
Yeah, well, throw me in jail.
Could you be arrested for trading in stolen goods if you did this?
Well, I got a lot of free time now. Why not put me in the can?
Well, you can't be in the can because you can't be around a lot of people. They'd have to put you in solitary.
They'll have to put me in solitary. You know, that might be nice. I'll get some peace and quiet. No, really? I don't think they can do it because they've already set a precedent here in Marion with Lady Justice that they did not throw the people at the radio station.
I'm trying to sign a paper. Are you going to sign a paper?
Well, if they want me to, sure. But, I don't think they can because if they did, then they're going to have to go back and throw Dick Carey in jail and they're going to have to prosecute people who were involved.
And like we talked about, the statute of limitations have run out on that.
Yeah, and I'm sure they've run out on this dog collar, too. I think we looked that up last year when...
Yeah, what is it, about 6 years?
I think it was 6 years. So this is long past the statute of limitations at this point. I think people are fearful. They don't understand the statute of limitations. Or maybe with Dick Carey. Who would have thought that? Dick Carey wasn't worried about going to jail. Dick Carey was worried about it hurting his reputation.
Yeah, well, he was a prominent member of the Marion there for a while.
Right, and I think that's...
The Historical Society.
Well, I think that's what could be going on here. I think that, you know, if you were 16, 17 when you took this, you're 27, 28 now, you could be well entrenched in a nice job, and you just don't want that on your record.
Yeah. But so, then again, I mean, it didn't hurt Dick Carey. I mean,
no, and you know what? It made him known. And here's the funny thing about this whole Dick Carey. But I'm okay with this. I really, you know, I'm glad Dick returned it. But when they put Lady Justice back up on top of the courthouse last November, here were the county commissioners and the sheriff all taking a picture with Dick Carey. So, you know, at this point, what are they going to do? Throw me in jail? Well, gee whiz, the sheriff just took a picture with the man who stole Lady Justice, knew he's the guy who stole Lady Justice, when they were putting her back on the courthouse.
Yeah, well, according to the story he told, there was a guy in there to get Lady Justice, and nobody knew he was there to get it. So if he'd have got it, not Dick Carey, might never have got Lady Justice back.
Well, isn't that an interesting story? I had never heard that part, and that's fascinating, too. Now, maybe it was just somebody who was screwed up on the days of cleaning it. I don't know what that – and we'll never know because those people have all went on to their reward. But I don't know what that was all about. And
I don't know. According to Dick, it was – you know, there was no paperwork that anybody from that company was supposed to be there to get it.
Yeah, but you know what I thought when Dick told that, and I'm sure he's telling the truth, but if you were going to steal it, why would you alert somebody? You know, because this person who showed up did say, I'm here to clean it. Well, why would you do that? I mean, that you had to walk in and meet somebody. You obviously would have had face identification. I'm sure you would have had to sign something before they would have given it to you if they still had it.
Oh, yeah, you'd have had to sign something.
So I'm sure that person probably just had the wrong date or somebody. It's kind of like the Lady Justice time capsule, which I'm not going to get into because people get angry when I talk about it. But you know what? That's never turned up yet either. How many months later?
Yeah, if we ever got a hold of the county commissioners about that.
Well, I think they don't want to talk about it. I mean, they're very aware of it. A listener told me the morning of Lady Justice being put back on the courthouse, he went down there and told them, or he asked them, where is it? They had no idea, and told them to call me. And I have emailed them to call me. I've never heard a peep from any of them.
I don't see what the problem is. I mean, you get it back, it'll probably just go to the Historical Society anyway.
Well, my theory on it is something has happened. Because if you took Lady Justice off the courthouse to refurbish her, how could you miss that time capsule? It was stuck up inside the bottom of her.
Yeah.
So that's odd to me. It suggests something. I'm not going to say it because every time I bring up this Lady Justice thing, people get bent out of shape. But the truth is, how could you lose that? How many people could have their hands on it?
It's hard telling how many people they had working on a restoration.
Well, the sad thing is that Louis Wickersham was a famous auctioneer here, and his gavel was in there, and it was put his family gave,
yeah.
Because Louis Wickersham had died by that point, and his family gave that to the people who were putting Lady Justice, there was a whole group then, to put Lady Justice back on the courthouse, and that was important to them that would always remain there, and why it was not put back up, why it was lost, I don't know if the Wickersham family is still around or not, but that is so unfortunate. And if they do have it, just tell us and we'll stop talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that hard to solve the problem.
No, it's pretty cut and dry. If you got it, the Historical Society would like to have it.
Yeah, Fred Malone absolutely said he would like to have it. So, you know, just contact us and we'll stop talking about it if you have it. But if you don't have it, Well, here's the thing. And I have the email, so I'm not afraid to talk about this. When I asked the judge about the time capsule, because in the beginning I was just curious. I thought, well, what happened to the time capsule? Because I knew it was in there. He said, well, the commissioners have it. I have that email where he tells me the commissioners have it.
Yeah.
So what did they do? Because somewhere between that email and about a month later, the commissioners had lost it. Or did the commissioners never have it to begin with? I don't understand, but why nobody can say, I don't get that.
I know. Doesn't it irritate you when people just won't admit they know what the truth is, but they just won't tell you?
Right, but you know, honestly, in this case, what would the issue be? If you do have it, you could, hey, you know what? We just didn't want to put it back up in there. It was damaged. We wanted to give it to the Historical Society. What value would it have to the county commissioners? None. So
about the same value as that dog collar has to whoever has it.
Well, you know, yeah. But what's the point? I mean, I don't understand why it is so hard to get answers on things like this. Silly.
I know. Maybe you should call it mysteries. What is that? Mysteries of the Unexplained. One of them TV shows.
Mysteries and Scandals. Get the ID channel down here.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, well, it's good to hear from you again.
Yeah, I've been meaning to call in, but I've been busy. Still working on my washer and dryer trying to get it hooked up.
Oh, well, what's wrong with it? You need some assistance?
I got to run a vent pipe. I got everything pretty much hooked up, but I got to run the vent pipe so I can vent it outside where it's supposed to be vented. But I need another set of hands to hold the pipe so I can connect it to the down pipe so I can run the flex pipe to the vent. And then pretty much all I got to do is put a trap in the drain line for the washer. We could be in there washing because I got everything hooked up.
Well, you know what? I bet one of our listeners, I would come out and help you if I could be around people, but I bet one of our I bet one of our listeners would be glad to help you, and they're out there listening. So if they can lend some assistance, give us a call this morning.
Yeah, because that piece of pipe I got to put on that down pipe is a pretty good sized piece of pipe, and I can't handle the pipe and hook it to the down pipe. Other than that, I mean.
And to be honest,
thing I need help with.
You wouldn't want me on a good day with that stuff. I'm no good with that stuff.
You can hold a pipe, can't you?
I would normally say yes, but right before I had this isolation start, I had to change a tire on my car, and I did get it changed, but it seemed a lot more difficult than what it used to seem. You know,
yeah, when you get older, everything's more difficult.
I guess. I apparently just have no mechanical ability left in my brain at all. Maybe I could hold a pipe. I mean, I got the tire changed, but it just seemed not physically exhausting. I don't want to say it was that. It just seemed like it was a lot more technical. Of course, this was a different car. That the jack was a lot more difficult.
One of them jacks where you have to put on the side of the car right behind the tire. And
yes.
A screw jack. Boy, I don't trust those things.
Oh, it was a mess, and I had to do it all in the parking lot of Meijer, which is where the tire went flat. So it was a nice little mess.
Yeah, well, at least you could get your tire off. I can't even get the tire off my truck.
Well, it was that. I tell you, that was a task in and of itself because I did not want to strip the lug nut, and yeah, well, I was worried about that. Yeah. Well, hey, good to hear from you.
I broke a ratchet trying to get my lug nuts loose.
Oh, isn't that the worst when you're trying? I don't know why businesses, because I also had the brakes redone, put those on so tight.
I know. I mean, yeah, I'm all for being secure about it not coming off, but good gravy.
I know.
I mean, at least don't put 250 pounds of pressure on that impact and put them lug nuts back on there.
You got it. You got it. Well, hey, good to hear from you again.
Yeah, I'll be calling in now that my phone works.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Our friend Scott out in Big Island, glad to know he's still out there. I was wondering about that the other day. I thought, gosh, we haven't heard from him in a while. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. If anybody can give Scott a hand out there in Big Island, just give us a buzz and maybe mention your phone number, and Scott's out there listening, and I'm sure he'll call you and be glad to take you up on your offer of assistance. Help him get his washer and dryer working. 740-751-4038. Phone lines are open here, 56 minutes past the hour. Talking about the dog collar this morning, Harding's dog collar, Lottie Boy. Harding's dogs, whatever. One of those things, you know what I mean. And the $1,000 reward that remains there. And again, if you have any information, 740-751-4038. You can call me off the air if you like. Now, yesterday, what we were talking about was businesses and how poor the service has gotten. And it continues. And I'm not talking about any one business. I'm talking about just about every restaurant I've been to in the recent times has had some kind of problem. Has anybody else noticed this? This is what we were going through yesterday when the phones broke down. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And I was also talking about yesterday how I started a new breakfast, the Honey Oat breakfast bar, which I found to be great. And, well, this morning I had eggs and sausage, but the Honey Oat breakfast bar was great. And I had asked what you have for breakfast. So that's another question we could do this morning. What do you have for breakfast? This morning I put on Facebook that I have had eggs and sausage and a diet soda this morning, and one of our longtime listeners, Pat Henry, said he had coffee in the morning. I was never much of a coffee drinker. It never appealed to me. I'm not a hot chocolate drinker either. Those warm drinks in the morning just don't appeal to me for some reason. Now, every so often I can have some tea in the morning. That's light and easy, but not coffee or hot chocolate. So how do you start your day? What do you have? A cold cereal? Do you have oatmeal? A breakfast bar? Do you go somewhere for breakfast and pick something up? One of those iced coffees that they have everywhere now? Do you go get donuts? That's a big breakfast. I know I see Starbucks and Tim Hortons and Dunkin' all have long lines every morning. Where do you go for breakfast? What do you do in the morning? Fruity Pebbles? 740-751-4038. 59 minutes past the hour. 39 degrees and cloudy skies here in Marion. Do you know where President Harding's dog collar is? And by the way, if you have a tip as to where this dog collar is, because you know people talk, you can also call in that tip or email me, Scott, at WWGH1071.com. If the tip leads to the dog collar being returned, you would be entitled to the $1,000 reward, which is out there. And to be honest with you, I don't think law enforcement's going to do anything, because when that story got national attention last year, no law enforcement people contacted me or anybody else. So there you go. We're coming up on the break. Come back with us in about 15 minutes after news and weather. Stay tuned. Much more here on WWGH.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics. From Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention.
Good morning, we're on the air.
Hey, Charlie, it's Scott.
Scott! Oh, wow! Okay, we've been wanting to hear from you, Scott.
Well, I tell you, this morning I did something different. Yesterday we